our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, throughout time you free the oppressed, heal the sick, and make whole all that you have made. Look with compassion on the world wounded by sin, and by your power restore us to wholeness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Have a seat. So good morning. Good to see you again. And thanks again for leading us into worship with song and processing up here with us. This Bible says that the little child shall lead us, and you have modeled for us what it means to enter into the space of God with your readiness to be here. So thank you for that. Are you all on summer break from school?
No.
Not yet? A few weeks? Yeah. SDSU let out early this year. Now, that doesn't mean I'm on break. A lot of people ask me, do I get the summer off since I work with students? And I actually don't. It's time for me to catch up. So I tend to squeeze too much in to too little time. So this Friday, day before yesterday, at home I have a little project that Angie was inspired to help us get going. And that is to convert our front yard from something that takes a lot of water to something that takes almost no water. Can you guess what that might be? Yeah.
Like plants that don't take that much water.
Yep.
Like cactus.
Plants that aren't as...
Cactuses and then there's...
Like succulents. Mm-hmm.
Succulents.
You know about succulents? Yeah, they store their own water, so they don't need as much. And they're not as thirsty, right? So that's the idea. So we had a bunch of rock come in, right, to keep, still have to keep the weeds down. And so we had that delivered, which meant now I've got a lot of work to do. I've got a pile of rock about this high and about from here to there. Yeah. So it's going to be a job. So I wanted to get a start on it. So we got started on Friday, clearing out things, getting ready. And then yesterday morning, got up early, did a few hours until it got hot, and then worked again last night. So you know what that means? That means this week I didn't really take a day off. So I was busy nailing down this stuff, this weed barrier. It's like a fabric to keep the weeds down. And I was thinking about all these things that I had to do next. And so here I am, I'm hammering this staple in. And guess what I did? Yeah, I hit my finger instead of the staple. Can you see that purple? It looks worse than it is now. It doesn't hurt anymore, but wow, it swelled up like a golf ball. And it was a reminder, I need to pay attention. I had to stop working because it hurt so much and it was swelling up. I had to take care of this, and that was the most important thing. Until that point, I had a bunch of things in my head, the next things I needed to do, and so I was distracted, right? That's why I hit my finger instead of the staple. So I had to tend to it.
How hard was he hitting it? Like,
too hard. Hard enough to drive something into the ground. So, yeah, I almost put my finger in the ground. Yeah. So I was distracted because I was too busy. I was too busy thinking about all these other things. Well, it made me pause, and I realized, oh, yeah, tomorrow I'm preaching about Sabbath, about taking a break. Have you heard that word, Sabbath?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you? Have you heard it discussed here? Yeah, well, let's talk about it. Sabbath is a Hebrew word, or Shabbat, Hebrew word that means stop. That's all it means, stop.
Don't work at all.
Don't work all the time. Yeah, take a break.
And if you do work, you get in trouble.
Yeah, there used to be a rule that you'd get punished if you were caught working on the Sabbath. Yeah, which that's kind of scary. Then it's like, uh-oh. I used to use the Sabbath as an excuse to get out of mowing the lawn. Like, well, I shouldn't mow on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day. And God says you should take a day off of work. Well, I didn't really work. My parents said, no, you get plenty of time to play. Okay, so it's about a balance. And we get out of balance. Like, I was out of balance yesterday. I was squeezing too much work into too little time, and I hurt myself. And that's kind of the lesson that God is teaching us in offering the Sabbath as a gift, not as a rule. God doesn't punish us, but there's a consequence. like me hitting my finger. God didn't make me hit my finger. But I was distracted, and I made me hit my finger, right? And God is inviting us to take a break, to play. You all can maybe help us, because as adults, sometimes we forget how to play. We get so busy with all these projects and jobs we got to do, we kind of forget. God means for us to just enjoy life. So, do your parents play with you?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Good. You might be able to help them. One way that my daughter helps me is she loves to put the music on and dance. And so when we can dance together, it helps me remember who I am. That I'm free as God's child. God loves me no matter what. And I need to just take a break and enjoy life. I can't just be working all the time. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that today, about God's gift of Sabbath rest, the gift of stopping, just to take a break. And that comes to us not by rule, but out of freedom. That God invites us to come and play, to come and rest, to come and enjoy life. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the gift of Sabbath, for your love that never ends. Thank you for the gift of play and rest. Help us and our families, our friends, our neighbors, and this church community to enjoy all the wondrous love and gifts that you give us each day. Bless this, your Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, kids.
Of the little children, all the children of the world, heaven and earth, black and white, they are precious in His sight.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 81 responsively. Sing with joy to God our strength, and raise a loud shout to the God of Jacob.
Raise a song and sound the timbrel, your merry harp and lyre.
Blow the ram's horn at the new moon, and at the full moon, the day of our feast.
For this is the statute of Israel, a law of the God of Jacob.
God laid it as a solemn charge upon Joseph, going out over the land of Egypt, where I heard a voice I did not know. You called on me in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you from the secret place of thunder, and tested you at the waters of Meribah. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not worship a foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. We do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Lord,
to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to him, Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him how to destroy him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. Well, that's pretty harsh. You heal somebody and no good turn is... What do they say? No good deed goes unpunished. Yeah. What is this? Why would the temple and the state immediately conspire when Jesus is just doing something that's helpful? Is this legalism that important to defend? Well, it seems that Jesus is directly challenging the way religion was used to control and dominate people. The Sabbath law was perhaps one of the most important because it defined the people. Especially that recitation, "Remember the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt. You were once slaves, and now you're free because God has acted. So you need to take a break. Not to be caught up in the temptation to return to slavery, believing that your security and your well-being come to you purely by your own effort. Rather, to trust in God, who is the provider of all things that we need. And also that means we need to rely on the community. We need to rely on those who labor so that we can rest. My wife works 12-hour shifts as a nurse, and obviously you can't just have the whole hospital take the night off. We need each other. So just as I said last week on Holy Trinity Sunday, that God comes to us as community, the point of that is to reveal to us that we need each other. That our dependence is not just some philosophical idea of relying on God in our minds, but relying on God in a practical daily sense, in the way that God provides for us through the community. So that's what Sabbath is about. So when Jesus challenges their understanding and their practice of Sabbath, he's challenging legalism. He's challenging this use of rules to control people, to keep them in line with the carrot and stick, right? That you're rewarded if you do the right thing, and you're punished if you do the bad thing. So he's also challenging this moralistic idea of God, who many people still believe, Christians included, unfortunately, that God rewards good people and punishes bad people, which is in direct contradiction to Scripture over and over saying that God sends rain on the just and the unjust. So we have both messages in Scripture, don't we? That there are consequences for our actions. I mean, it's a bit of a trivial one, but me smashing my finger, there are consequences for our actions. And there are also benefits of relying on each other and practicing the way of wisdom. Okay? So Jesus isn't throwing these things out, but I think he's trying to refresh them to help the community come out of its legalism and its rigidity about these things and this matter where the community is more about enforcement of rules, to recall the freedom that the Sabbath is meant to celebrate. So that the remembering of slavery is not to think of ourselves as slaves, but think of ourselves as people who've been set free from slavery. That the law is meant to be gift. It's meant to be freedom. But the worldly people taught that if you had good things in your life, like health and wealth, high status and power, then they said that was a sign of God's special blessing on you. God is honoring your righteousness. On the other hand, if you had evil things in your life, like sickness or injury or poverty or low status, if you were a slave, then that was a sign of God's curse or punishment for your sins or your parents' sins. Again, we tend to separate, as I said last week, people into categories of either or, the good people and the bad people. But if we look honestly at our life, one reason we begin worship with confession in the Lutheran tradition is to get honest about who we are before God. To not perpetuate this delusion that we can hide, but to be honest and to trust that God is merciful. And when we return and we are honest, God can fill that space. That God is merciful in a way that God loves not just the righteous, but the unrighteous. So thankfully, we're included. But we tend to have a knack for twisting a blessing into a curse, to using it to our own advantage and the disadvantage of others. So just as the newly freed Hebrew people were tempted to return to Pharaoh, where there was a secure food supply, rather than what they were experiencing in the wilderness, so too, we tend to turn religion into a system where our willpower is really what's at work, right? About my decision for God and all, versus all those people who don't believe, right? Drawing a separation, which is not at all what God intends. As I said last week, Jesus is not God's plan B to come into the world and fix a broken world, or to define the world in terms of all of its problems and evil, which it certainly has. But Jesus is God's plan A, present with us from the beginning of time, as John's Gospel says. The eternal Word, who is continually flowing mercy and providing for God's people. God is blessing and loving the whole creation from the beginning. When the concluding word of when the creation is completed, God says what? It is okay? So? Very good. Very good. From the beginning. That doesn't end when we make mistakes. So, in the Jewish tradition, Jesus is actually recovering the centrality of the Sabbath practice. It's a bit ironic that most Christians have dropped that practice. Or it's been so marginalized, it might be an hour on Sunday. It was meant to involve the wholeness of our life. A rabbi friend of mine helped me come into the heart of what Sabbath means. he and I collaborated on a retreat on Sabbath. Because a lot of people in the congregation I was serving in Colorado had said that they just feel restless and they feel like their daily life feels like compulsive, where it's hard to stop. And they feel like they're on a treadmill. And so they asked for this. And so this rabbi and I worked together. And we began Friday evening with the opening of the Sabbath in the Jewish tradition, with the prayers and the lighting the candle and setting aside this 24-hour period to actually be immersed in Sabbath. As we read from Deuteronomy, the Sabbath is the community's core practice of freedom. To remember, once we were slaves, but no longer, God has set us free. But after centuries, the Hebrews had forgotten who they were. I mean, imagine working 7 days a week without any days off. And generation after generation only knows that treadmill. So it seems that in that story of Exodus, the people have totally forgotten their identity. And they need to rediscover it. And there in the wilderness, where they experience vulnerability of their daily needs and frustration about God providing just enough for the day with manna and quail, they rediscover the gift of Sabbath. That enough is gathered up on that last day before the day of rest so that that day can be set aside to really celebrate God's infinite grace. So they needed Moses. They didn't go into the wilderness by themselves because they were, as I say, they were stuck in this cycle of slavery. They had internalized their own oppression and began to believe it about themselves and not to hope for anything better. And so what did it take? It took Moses, another Hebrew who had forgotten his identity, who had been raised and lived as an Egyptian, but a moment came where he saw a taskmaster abusing a slave and something snapped, where he realized his own humanity was being stolen by this system of slavery. So what did he do? He flew into a rage and he killed the taskmaster. So this journey of God's people in covenant to freedom begins with a murder. Much like Cain and Abel, the journey to freedom begins with failure, with utter failure of imagination of humanity. And then out of that unknowing and the consequences of our actions, we begin to awaken. It seems that we may have to, in this life, experience pain and suffering to awaken to the possibility of hope and freedom. And this promise is not just for me as an individual. Moses comes to liberate all of the Hebrew people, right? To break this cycle of slavery, to break this system of oppression that uses fear to dominate. That's why the Sabbath is so central. Where they discover in the wilderness the journey of freedom, the process of reawakening over and over again, and to begin to recognize that they have a greater purpose. That as freed slaves, they're not just to enjoy that and conquer other countries and enslave them, but rather to free the whole world. That through them they would be a light to all the nations. So I invite you to just spend a few moments with me and reflect on your own life and how to reclaim the gift of Sabbath. As I said, I've got some notes if you'd like to take some with you to reflect later. You don't have to memorize this or write it down. Just invite you to reflect on your own life. So I have a couple ideas for you. But before I do that, know that the greatest value of the practice of Sabbath is freedom. It's not doing it the right way. It's actually doing it the wrong way. And just recognizing that our imperfection is how God has chosen to transform this world. You know, there isn't a right way to play. If your way is to take your clothes off and dance, you know, as long as you're not doing that in school or like here, You know what I mean? God gives us freedom to imagine different ways to live what it is to celebrate God's grace. Habits shape us. What we do over and over again changes our wiring in our brain. And so that's, I think, what we're talking about here. That's why the command is not just do this once in a while, but do it every week. Do it on a regular basis. Because everything else you're doing on a regular basis is shaping you. We need some way to bring some balance to this. So what are those things that you do already right now every day? Or every week? What are the patterns of your life that shape how you think and what you expect from God and from your life? As I said, I collaborated with this rabbi on this retreat. It's such a rich tradition. And one of the things that stuck with me is that this rabbi was a realtor. So he had two jobs. Now imagine taking Saturday off as a realtor. And that's probably your biggest day of business. And so it was an ongoing challenge for them to just make ends meet. Because he was losing one of his best days for business. And I was like, well, that makes no sense to me. Why don't you just take Sunday off or Monday? But he was formed that his practice was part of a community practice. That he wasn't just doing this on his own. He was doing this as a part of a whole community together. That they were supporting each other in their practice of Sabbath. So then when he took Saturday off, he was doing so with his whole extended community of faith. And that sacrifice of income that he otherwise might have been able to gain reminded him of his utter dependence on God regardless of what he did. Because he was part of that community that cared for him. So what is this invitation? I already mentioned to the kids, Sabbath means stop. It means cease work. It's an opportunity to begin again after a week of imperfectly living, right? I don't know about you, but most days I don't accomplish everything that I had on my list that day to do. And this partial experience is a humbling experience, right? Where I realize that it's not my will that is accomplishing everything. It's not just my plans or ideas. So I need to lay those down. I need to recover this sense of life as blessing, as gift. That blessing of God who says at the culmination of creation, it is very good. And you hear that over and over again. It's why we keep coming back to the Word, right? Just like we need to keep coming back to a well for water. So this rabbi helped me understand that when we set aside time and space, what we're doing is we're actually opening. God is empowering us to open possibility of freedom. So it almost doesn't matter what you do, but that you are doing it. And that's, to me, one of the values of ritual. Is that when we set aside this space to center ourselves in the Word and Sacrament, we're recalling again that promise of God that's always coming to us. That we have to intentionally remember, because the other days of the week, we get lots of other messages, right? The whip cracked on us, metaphorically, hopefully, in a workplace. To keep going and going. So sometimes just the ritual of lighting a candle, having an intentional meal together with friends or family, and just actually enjoy it, not in front of the TV, but to actually enjoy the company of one another as we take into ourselves that which gives us life. That we share that common human experience of dependence on receiving life from other life. Another one for this time he told me about is a Sabbath box. A place to put your smartphone. So you're less tempted to check it constantly. Right? I know it's wiring me all the time. Like I'm curious now, Dad, have I got a text waiting for me? You know, when it vibrates in my pocket. What if that's in a box that I don't have to respond instantly? What if I can be more fully present for a time? You know, so that it's a tool It's not dominating my life. That Sabbath meal on Friday night comes with a recitation of this remembrance that God has set us free from slavery. And so this is a meal of freedom. So as you come forward and receive communion today, receive that as a meal of freedom. The freedom of depending on God for a little taste at a time. And to begin to live our life that way over and over. You know, the results of this are not immediate. We want quick fixes, and we're kind of conditioned to look for those. You know, I could probably sell a book on this and make a lot of money. That isn't the point. The point is that we restore one another and encourage each other to return again and again. You might have a morning routine where you begin with daily prayer. Hopefully the first thing you do isn't turn on the TV and get that assault of bad news. But to claim your freedom from the beginning of the day, in our home we begin with yoga and meditation. We're just resting in that generous presence of God that comes to us every day, fresh. Where yesterday is no longer exists, except as a memory. That each day we wake in God's grace and freedom. And part of that freedom is also freedom from consumption. So these quick fixes, you know, how I want my finger to stop hurting so I can go back to work. I want the pain to be over. I want that ibuprofen to kick in now. We are, in this culture in particular, so conditioned to constantly consume. Putting that down and fasting from compulsive behavior is powerful. It's not easy, though, right? We'll feel withdrawal. And we won't, at the end of a Sabbath, have that all resolved in our life. It's just about that process of confession and release and recognition. Here I am again. Oops. And have a sense of humor about our own willpower. And remember, God is continually renewing us through the gift of grace. So this is about doing good badly. It's about living well imperfectly. Which seems contradictory, right? Aren't we supposed to walk a straight line? But who among us has experienced that as working out reliably? That's why we need to come again and again and be restored. Jesus reclaimed Sabbath as freedom and joy and wholeness. And it's time for us to reclaim Jesus from fear-based religion. He does this by modeling this freedom, by breaking the rule so that people can experience the gift. Jesus shows us. You know, he uses that title, Son of Man, a lot. Sounds high and mighty, but why doesn't he call himself Son of God more? Because that's what we call him. No, he more often says, Son of Man. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. He's saying, I'm one of you. I'm a human being, not a human doing. So let me show you what that looks like. It means healing. If someone's in need, you respond. It's not that hard. I should say, it's not that confusing. The man comes in need, and the simple act of healing is condemned, means our rules have gotten out of whack. How is this a community of healing? Where those who are struggling are welcomed, are received. Their vulnerability is supported. And we join each other in this process of liberation. We're all in recovery from slavery. It means we have to come back again and again to remind us of our freedom. So I invite you today to reclaim Jesus by reclaiming Sabbath in your life. whether that be daily a few minutes to just have a moment of quiet, or once a week to set aside a special time for yourself, for friends and family, for community. There's all kinds of opportunities to claim this freedom. It just means stepping off of the treadmill. And sometimes it helps if we have the support of others. Paul writes, we have this treasure in clay jars. It's okay to be a clay jar. That's who God has chosen to be the vessels of infinite grace. So claim the imperfection of your life. Embrace it, trusting in God to renew you. Jesus reminds us with Sabbath, where we come from is God's love. Where we're going is returning to God, who is love. And all this is so we can remember who we are. We are the hands, the feet, the hearts, the minds of God's love. Amen.